Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we've opened your word. Now, Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward and open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, and for this word, so that we can grow thereby. Grow in spirit, grow in truth, grow in knowledge and wisdom, and grow in faith. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study this evening, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in chapter 3 of Ephesians this evening. It's not too long a chapter. In fact, we've got 21 verses, but a lot of them are short. All right. The beginning here with verse 1. Paul starts out, he says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you." 3. "Now that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby, when we read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. 5. Which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. 6. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. 10. To the intent that now and through the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. 13. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. 14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to the strengthening with might by his Spirit in the inner man. 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height. 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. 20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And we praise Almighty God for this his word, and we thank him for it all in the name of Jesus. Now, as we back up here, kind of take a look now and really see if we can get a little more understanding as we back up now to verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, to you Gentiles, you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. 3. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in few words. You know, the writer begins his second prayer in behalf of the readers, and is for this cause indicates the prisoner of Jesus. And you know, that could also be read as a prisoner because of Jesus. And we know how that all came about. In Paul's meeting the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and then the things that happened to him over the next several days there in Damascus. And, you know, just a lot of things that you and I don't think about, we have missed out on. Pardon me just a moment. I got to take care of a little something here. All right. Now, We do know that this dispensation of the grace of God means the provision consisting of God's grace, when this refers to the divine ability given Paul, which enabled him to successfully execute his apostolic ministry to the Gentiles. We know that God called him for that purpose. And now we're finding out what has given him the ability. We know it all comes from God. But we're also seeing how Paul is walking with it. He's not disobeying in anything. And he goes, Paul goes on here, and there in that verse 3, and he lets us know, he says, as I wrote before in few words, he's referring back to chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, and chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, where the author only touched on the mystery which God had made known to him in the most general of terms. But you know, now he identifies this mystery as the establishing of a new humility, or humanity rather, under the headship of Christ. But a bit more specifically, he defines it as the inclusion of Gentile Christians along with Jewish Christians in God's family. But you know, we'll find a little further on even more precision in exactly what this mystery entails. You know, a lot of things, you see, when we sit down to read God's Word, if we don't read it and study it and meditate upon it, we miss a lot of this. Now, 4, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the ministry of Christ. 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So we know here he's talking about before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about mainly about those of the Old Testament there in verse 5. 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, that the divine blessing of salvation would be extended to the Gentiles was made known, actually, Genesis 12:3 on forward, letting us know that the Gentiles could be saved, and therefore there was no secret, but a mystery not made known in Old Testament times, and was the incorporation of Jewish and Gentile believers alike as fellow members of the body of Christ. And this secret is now revealed unto his holy apostles, Christian prophets. Because you see, the mystery of verse 3 that we've just had been divinely disclosed is now explicitly defined. It is that the Gentiles are to be fellow heirs. That is, they are now to enjoy equal share in a heavenly inheritance to which they, unlike the Jews, had no right by birth. And they are of the same body as fellow members. And that is, Gentiles have been incorporated into the divine family of the same and equal footing before God. They are just as intimately related to the Lord and just as much loved by him as are their Jewish brethren. And they are partakers of his promise. That is, they are fellow partakers of covenant promise from which they were formerly excluded. You know, in a word then, the mastery is that of Gentile Christians standing on the same even ground of grace before God and of their being equally included in the body of Christ, the church, along with the Christian Jews. You see, there is really no difference between the Christian Jews today than those of us that are Christian Gentiles. We are all the same in the family of Almighty God. Now, 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul letting them know where his authority and his ministry came from. 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what we are all to do, is to teach this word as God has given it to us. We're not to take it, water it down, twist and turn it, add to it and take away from it to make it say what we to say. We are to teach it as God gives it. And I know that most of mankind today don't appreciate that and don't really want it. And if he can do anything to keep from talking to you and I about it, he will. 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You see, our Heavenly Father used the Lord Jesus Christ to do the creating. God would speak it, and Jesus would see it done. 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know, that verse I just read there in 9 would be better read and to reveal what is the plan arrangements of the mystery, for it has been hidden for ages by God who created all things. And the two reasons for which God gave Paul his grace and ability are to preach the gospel to Gentiles and to disclose God's plan for implementing the Jew-Gentile mystery in human history. There's a whole lot. But as many times as I've read it, that I still pick up that I didn't catch on to before. And we'll do that as long as we study the Word of God. We'll always be learning something else to make us stronger and closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly place might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Paul discloses of this mystery and teaches angels. He's teaching principalities and powers in heavenly places of God's wisdom. We're not the only ones he's teaching these things to. Because you see, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, this was not taught to the angels either. Now Paul's teaching to both. Now, Eleven, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And you know, there in that 12th verse, he's talking about in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And then he goes on to 13. And in that 12th verse, he's affirming that Christians have boldness. In other words, freedom of speech before God and access the right of entering his presence with confidence and with the assurance of you and I being heard by God and by the faith of him through relying upon Christ to gain God's ear. That's why you and I have been told in the Word of God to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and he will hear from heaven. And he's told us, if we know he hears there in heaven, then we know that we can have from him the wish we can ask. As long as we are talking in his terms and in his will. The foolish things of this world, we may never gain know, because most of them would be and cause us more harm than good, and God is not going to give us anything that will harm us. No. 14. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know there in 14 that he's going to the Lord God in prayer. And we know that Paul's prayer, which began in verse 1, but delayed by the discussion all the way through verses 2 through 13. And you see, here in 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And when he says his name, he means is derived. And the whole Christian family, including those saints now departed and in heaven, and those saints still living on earth, all of them derive their spiritual life from God. Our life and time in heaven is given to us by Almighty God. 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, you know, let's go on through 17, 18, and 19. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. 19. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And you know, he's talking there about that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit. And that is that they be divinely enabled to successfully live the Christian life. And that the readers be able to comprehend the love of Christ, that is, to better understand the enormous love Christ has for us. And that they might be filled with all the fullness of God, and that is that the life, character, and virtues of God himself may be fully developed in them. How are you saying? Is it being fully developed in you? Are you really gaining in knowledge as we study his word and as we walk in this life? Now, you know, Christ will dwell in the lives of those who are recipients of the Holy Spirit. Jesus already lives in them and in all Christians. The Greek word translated dwell means to settle down and be at home and to be at ease. When they are divinely strengthened, they will then live the kind of lives God desires. When they thus please God, Christ will then be at home or at ease in their lives as a permanent guest, then he will enjoy living with them. Is Jesus living in you? And can he live in you with joy? These are things we have to look at ourselves to know. How am I taking care of him within this body? Am I living my life to please him, for him to see that I do love him and I love the Lord our God and that I love his word? I love studying his word. I love teaching his word. You see, it's things like that that will keep him in joy. Now, 20. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, in making the three above petitions, Paul has not asked for too much, for he prays unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he can ask or think of. And Paul ends this with 21 here. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. There's a whole lot there in that third chapter. God willing, come morning, we're going to be in chapter 4, and there's more coming. So be ready. And spend some time with God and ask him to give you more knowledge, to give you more wisdom, and to help you build your faith stronger. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we praise you and thank you for this word, Father. And we do so in Jesus' name. Father, help us to always walk in accordance and in obedience unto your will and your way, holding us and never letting us stray. Now, Father, as your word tells us to do, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray, Father, for them. Oh, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that Israel will have peace. Father, and one day become a land known for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, that has created its own mess. But Father, for all of those that are your children, Father, we'll all be coming to you in prayer, seeking, Father, for those that have brought all this evil upon this land, in all of our leadership places, wherever that place may be, whether it be in our government, our churches, or wherever. That, Father, they be replaced with those that love you, that are and will walk in righteousness, and that will work with us to bring this land to repentance. Father, and put our government back upon the foundation in which this land was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for each one that has made this ministry a part of their lives. I pray for them to walk in health and safety, walk loving you and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and love spending time in your word. And Father, I'm asking that you keep us now through the rest of this day, through the night, and bring us together again come 10 a.m. in the morning, Father, Eastern time, and back into your word. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great day. Good night, all.